Back in the 1930s, a small man with a toothbrush moustache captivated Germany with his rhetoric. His words were passionate and powerful. Oh, and they were racist too. And yet, his words touched the hearts of millions of the German people. And subsequently, Adolf Hitler led his nation to a terrible war. You can Google the speeches of Adolf Hitler and see how he used his words to win over a nation in such a tragic way. In 1987, Ronald Reagan, who was at that time the President of the United States, made a visit to Germany. And he made a very famous speech at the Brandenburg Gate, which was the dividing point, the city of Berlin. And in that speech, he challenged the German people to stand up for freedom, to reject communism. And within 2 years, the German people had picked up their sledgehammers and they smashed down the Berlin Wall. And you can Google that speech as well too. And you can hear Ronald Reagan passionately implore those German people to respond. And that was the beginning of the end of communism in Eastern Europe. Words that we use can be extremely powerful, and they can be used for good or for evil. Over the last week or so, I've been watching Nick Kyrgios play tennis. I love the damage that he can do with his tennis racket, but he can also do a lot of damage with his mouth, can't he? And that's sad. And I don't think there would be anybody who is sitting here this morning who hasn't been hurt at some time by an outburst of temper that somebody has displayed towards them. Or maybe a sarcastic comment that somebody has made. Or maybe they've felt the dagger of criticism that has been very pointedly directed at you. I hope also that you've experienced at times the blessing of somebody paying you a compliment. Or somebody coming alongside and speaking a word of encouragement or thankfulness to you. You see, how we talk to one another is absolutely fundamental to the way that our relationships work. And what's more, the way that we use our tongue reveals perhaps more about who we really are than just about anything else. There's a little verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and it says, "Out of the overflow of the mouth." Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what that little verse is saying is that how we speak reveals what's going on at a deeper level inside of our hearts. And we should never play down the effect that our words can actually have. In the book of Proverbs, and the last week or so, and for the next week or so, we're going to be having a look at some of the Proverbs. The main theme is wisdom on the one hand and foolishness on the other. And in the course of the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs here, we have lots and lots of practical advice about the wisdom, or alternatively the foolishness, of how we actually use our tongues, how we speak. Most of the Proverbs are stated in simple, pithy, two-line statements that go in parallel with each other. Sometimes it's one line followed by another line which supports the original statement. Sometimes it's one line followed by a line which gives the opposite of that initial statement. But you see this pattern coming through over and over again in most of the verses in the Proverbs. And today we're going to have a look at how the Proverbs challenges us to be careful about the way that we speak. First of all, there are problems which are caused by foolish words. Let's have a look at some examples. And I apologize, but we're going to be flipping through lots and lots of different verses from the book of Proverbs today. And so if you're trying to follow me in your own Bible, you might have a little bit of trouble just keeping up, but I hope they're all going to come up on the screen. We got some there, Bruce? Good on you. And Bruce has been working overtime getting these set up for us today. And what we might do is we'll quickly read them through, and then I'll make a few little comments on them. But first of all, some proverbs which reveal foolishness. And I think we probably have to admit that sometimes this is areas where we fall down ourselves. First of all, Proverbs 11, verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A gossip betrays a confidence. The next one, Bruce. Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. What that's saying there is that we've got to be careful we're not too quick to talk. As we've been saying, words have power. They can do a lot of damage. And so they have to be used carefully. We don't break the trust of other people. We keep our word. We keep confidences. We don't speak rashly. I think the great challenge that's coming through in these and other proverbs is that we should think carefully before we speak. And not only do we hurt other people sometimes with our words, we actually hurt ourselves. You think, how many people over the years have lost their jobs because they spoke rashly? Because they reacted in a hostile way to something that was said to them at work. The boss didn't like it and fired them on the spot. What about the next one, Bruce? Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. How many friendships have broken down over the years because of gossip? The next one, Bruce. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Quite graphic. Beware of gossip. Some people love gossip. You can go onto the internet and you can get whole websites that are devoted these days to gossip. I don't watch much morning television, but there are people who just hang out for the Hollywood goss, to find out what's happening in the private lives of some of those celebrities who live over there in Hollywood. People just love to pry into the eyes of other people. Do Christians gossip? We need to be very careful, friends. Rumours, exaggeration, innuendo, half-truths. Next one, Bruce. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. And that's so true, isn't it? When we gossip, what we're actually doing is we're slandering the name or the reputation of another person. The Bible tells us that love builds up, but gossip does the opposite. It tears down. It destroys. Whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. How often have you felt like unloading on someone that you have to work with or someone you have to live among? Your neighbour. Just remember that that person is still going to be there tomorrow and the next week and the next month and probably the next year. Just be very careful before you destroy your relationship with your neighbours or your workmates, because the consequences could be very long lasting. Maybe there's a better way of dealing with some issues that might have arisen between you. Maybe better than destroying the relationship. You need to learn how to build bridges and find ways to get on. Next verse. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Same sort of scenario going on here. Learn how to overlook an insult. Let it go through to the keeper. Next one, Bruce. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. I think the challenge there is just to think through the long-term consequences of starting a quarrel. Is it really going to be worth it? You can see from these verses that there are many potential problems that can arise when we are careless with our words. Are there some people who are a little bit more prone to saying insulting things or spreading gossip or getting angry or just generally engaging in loose talk? I think so. You know, if words, as we said before, come from our hearts, if words reveal what's going on at a deeper level inside of us, well, then we need to know ourselves. We need to be aware of the weaknesses that we have in these areas. I heard of a guy with a bad temper, and he used to justify himself by saying, well, I'm an honest person. I just tell it like it is. I just get it off my chest and it's all over in a moment. And the guy who was listening to this just quietly said to him, yes, but so is a shotgun blast. It's over in a moment. And yet look at the damage that a shotgun blast can do. And if we've got problems in the area of gossip or exaggeration or sarcasm or whatever it might be, we need to stop making excuses for ourselves and admit that we've got a problem. We need to be prepared to take it to God and allow him to do some heart surgery on us, because this is ultimately where it's coming from. All right, so we can talk foolishly. But thankfully, there's also some positive examples in the book of Proverbs here about how we can use our words carefully and wisely. Some careful words. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 28, Bruce. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. If we're careful with our words, the outcome can be so much different. Do we weigh our words carefully when we have to say things to other people? Don't be too quick to jump in and to defend yourself or to offer free advice to somebody who you think needs to be corrected. I think it's important for us to understand that we don't have to win every argument. I know it's hard for a lot of young guys to understand that, but it's not actually a sign of weakness. If you can control yourself and hold back and to weigh your answers carefully before you speak. A few moments ago we read Proverbs 12:16, which says, a wise man overlooks an insult. It's wise to actually overlook. Don't overreact. Think carefully before you speak. I think sometimes when we've maybe got a fairly volatile temperament, to understand that, you know, we do have the potential for problems in these areas, and we have to learn to sort of stop and to step back and to think and to maybe pray. How does God want me to respond in this situation? And we need to make sure that when we do talk, that what we say actually comes out the way it's meant to. In a conciliatory way, in a positive way, in a even a loving way. In the course of my role as a pastor, I often have to have difficult conversations with people. That's one of the disadvantages, if you like, of being the senior pastor. You get to make the hardest phone calls you need to have the most difficult conversations. They end up on your lap. And what I've learned over the years is it is very valuable for me to write notes. Not because I'm going to read them, but because it forces me to stop and to think about what I really want to say, so that when I do say it, it comes out the best that I can. Now, maybe not every time it comes out as well as it should, but because I'm aware of the potential for actually contributing to, you know, a clash with another person, I seek to think things through and to write notes and to pray about them beforehand, so that hopefully they will work out well, to weigh the answers carefully, as the proverb says. Next one, Bruce. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Again, exactly right. Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. To be careful with our words can save us so much trouble further down the track. I think it's important for us to realise that the words that we speak can have such a lasting effect and such a damaging effect if we're not careful on our future relationships. I fairly often, more often than I would like to think, hear of families that have got estrangement and alienation in them because of something that was said way, way, way back, and forgiveness has never been given. Relationships have been torn apart, and they endure for year after year after year. People remember things that have been said way, way back, and the damage remains. The shotgun blast approach never, never, never ultimately works, and so we have to be careful with the way that we use our words. But then there are encouraging words, and many of the Proverbs show how we can use our words in such a way to actually build up and to encourage other people. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise actually brings healing. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Do our words bring healing? Do they cheer people up? When we go and visit somebody who's feeling down, are they glad to see us? Are they encouraged by the things that we have to say to them? Do they feel built up, cheered up, healed, perhaps in an emotional sense? And yet, if we use our words carefully, this is the effect that they can have. Proverbs 15. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? How good is a timely word? You know, there are some people who just seem to know the right thing to say in different situations. Those people are encouragers. They should be pastoral carers. That they give wise advice in difficult situations. That they help you stay sane when you're feeling anxious and your life's spinning out of control. And that person just comes along and speaks a word which is timely, which is just right for the moment. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 has a similar reference there. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. I think if we're going to be able to do this well, it's very important that we learn how to listen clearly. You have to be able to understand how a person is feeling and understand what they're going through in order to be able to encourage them and to give them wise advice. And sometimes I've found that it's not even so much what you say, but the fact that you're there, that you're trying to understand what somebody's going through, and that emotionally you're connected to that person. Sometimes even that can speak loudly. Words of encouragement. The last thing that people need when they're going through difficult times is for somebody to come along with trite, simplistic answers and not be able to connect in a loving way with that person. That was like the comforters, the so-called comforters that went to visit Job when he was going through his pain and his grief. There's another great one, Proverbs 16. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I think, you know, the ability to encourage seems to come fairly easily to some people. Maybe they're gifted that way by God. Maybe it's got something to do with their personality. I think more likely it's due to the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and at work within their lives. But those sort of people, that they notice. They notice other people. They sense when somebody needs to be encouraged. And they find ways of getting alongside them. They're not so caught up in themselves and so bound up in what they're doing with their lives that they don't have time for other people. And what we see is that when the Holy Spirit is alive and at work within a person's life, that the spiritual fruit, that fruit of the Spirit, starts to flow. Love, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, even self-control. Those are the things that start to become evident. If that's not you this morning, well, maybe you need to stop and pray and ask God to help you to start seeing other people around you. People within your circle of life there that need to be encouraged. And I'm not suggesting this morning that you go and force yourself on those people, but be interested in them. Listen to them. Find out what's going on in their lives. Offer to help. Be practical. And it's amazing, you know, that when we start to connect with people in that way, how it opens up all sorts of other opportunities. In Proverbs 27:17, I always think of Kevvy Town when I read this verse because it's one of his favourite verses. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How do we sharpen each other? I think we sharpen each other with our words, by the things that we say. The way we talk has such a big bearing on our ability to connect, especially with other people. If we get it wrong, well, chances are we'll end up with a bushfire on our hands. And if a moment of frustration or anger overtakes us and we say what we shouldn't say, sometimes the damage can be very long-lasting and serious. You know, as we've said a few moments ago there, that wedge between you and another person, maybe even a member of your own family, can last for years and years and years. The book of Proverbs exhorts us to be wise about what we say and how we say it. And with God's help, I think we can learn to control our tongues and to use it to bless others. And we can also use our tongues to praise God. Let's read a few of the verses that Olivia read to us earlier on from James chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That sounds a little bit pessimistic, doesn't it? No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We cannot control our tongues, only God can. And we need God's help to master our tongues. We're going to be able to use our tongues to encourage other people and to praise God. We need God's help to be able to do that. But there's one other thing that is an essential part of the way that we ought to speak if we are Christians. And I want to explain that this morning as we head towards the finish line. The Bible tells us explicitly that God himself is a speaking God. In the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 there, we read repeatedly, again and again, and God said, let there be light, whatever. God spoke. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God over and over again speaking through the prophets. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Jeremiah, whoever else it might have been. When we get to the New Testament, we see how God spoke very specifically in another way. He spoke through his Son. In these last days, God has spoken through his Son, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In John chapter 1, Jesus is referred to as the Word. The Word became flesh and lived among us. God's Word came to us in Jesus. And through Jesus, we have this message of salvation, the message of forgiveness and of new life that has been announced to the world through Jesus himself. And now, today, it is the responsibility of every Christian to live out that message in our words and in our deeds. And I ask this question: are there gospel words on our lips? Gospel words. The disciple Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." The words of eternal life, the words that every single person needs to hear, come to us through Jesus himself. The ultimate word that God has spoken, friends, is the Spirit. There's the word that he's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. And we who are Christians now have the responsibility and also the great privilege of being able to share that word with others. It's interesting that Christians are likened in one passage of Scripture to ambassadors, and in other scriptures to witnesses in a court. What do ambassadors do? They talk. They speak on behalf of their country. What do witnesses do? They get up, they stand, and they speak on behalf of somebody in court. And as Christians, we are to be ambassadors. We're to be witnesses. We're to be able to verbalize through our own words the good news of Jesus. And we're supposed to do it in such a way that other people will be attracted to Jesus. We're to be ready at all times to give other people a reason for the hope that we have, it says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. We have a message of a God who loves us, a God who has given his own Son for us, a God who invites us to trust him with our lives, to receive the forgiveness of our sins that he offers to us, to give us a hope for eternity, a new life, a life which begins now but lasts forever and ever. Can I throw out the final challenge this morning as we close? We need to think carefully, yes, about how we communicate with others. Is our speech honoring to God? Are other people being encouraged and blessed, or are they being torn down? But we also need to ask ourselves, how ready and how willing are we to share gospel words with others in our lives? Our words can do great damage, but they can also do great good. And this morning, I want to encourage each one of us to pray and to ask God to help us use our words in such a way that we will bring the greatest honor to the Lord himself, and also the greatest blessing to other people. In Psalm 19, verse 14, the psalmist says this: "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What a prayer. I want to pray that prayer for myself, but I want you to pray it for yourselves as well too. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who has spoken to us. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your words to change our lives, to change our hearts, to control our tongues, that we might use them, Lord, for your glory. We confess, Lord, that so often we're not very wise in the way that we speak, and we ask this morning, Lord, that you'll forgive us. Purify, Lord, our minds and our hearts, and implant within our hearts, Lord, your Spirit, that our words, Lord, might be like honeycomb, bringing sweetness and healing to the lives of others. But Lord, we pray this morning too that you would help us to be able to share the message of hope and of grace that Jesus came to announce. May our love for Christ be increasingly evident, Lord, in our conversations and in the way that we connect with other people. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge, your word to us this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.